Thank you, Karen. Let's take our Bibles now, and I invite you to turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, we'll drop down to verse 26. There's so many messages in this one chapter, but we want to choose as our text verse, verse 26. This was a time, the early time of the church, and they sent missionaries out from this church at Antioch where they were first called Christians. By the way, God is the one who called the missionaries, Paul and Barnabas. The church didn't call them. They were called by God. The church just sent their approval and laid their hands on them and said, "We're behind you. We'll help support you and we'll pray for you." And that's the way it should be for missionaries. And they went out from that church on their first missionary journey. They went back to some of the different lands and places where they actually, where Paul had been raised and where Barnabas had been raised. And they, as they went down through Cyprus and then on up into Pisidia and then Antioch of Pisidia, and then they had some problems along the way, and then after that they came back through. But one of the things they did, of course, was preach the gospel. And the message that Paul had was a message primarily about Jesus Christ. The first missionary message and the first recorded message of the Apostle Paul was about Jesus Christ. And that, by the way, after all, is about all we have to preach. If we get away from that, we've gotten away from the reason for our existence and the reason for our preaching. But I want to just give you a very simple number of thoughts today out of Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Paul is into his message. He's given the history of the Jews and what God did with them, why he did it, how out of them he called a certain woman to bring forth a child by the name of Jesus into the earth that he might become the Savior of the world. And John was not that Savior, but in verse 26, he said, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God," notice what he says next, "to you is sent the word of to you is the word of this salvation sent." He was talking about Jesus. We could read all of these verses if we had time, but you read them in your own time. He was talking here about Jesus, and he said, to you, to those that he was speaking to, and primarily here to the Gentiles, "to you is the word of this salvation sent," the word of salvation. He was talking about Jesus, and he was talking about the death of Jesus and why he died and the burial of Jesus and, thank God, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to show that the Father had put his approval on the plan of salvation and that Jesus had paid our sin debt. And I'm glad that he did. He was crucified. He was buried, but thank God he arose. He came out of that grave. The Lord Jesus Christ showing that salvation is by grace and is through his shed blood in that only. But I'm glad as we look at it that salvation is very personal. Think about salvation as being personal. He said in verse 26, "to you." Well, that's to anybody. That's to you that are here today that have never been saved. It is personal. I'm not just shooting a gun out to all of the people here. I'm preaching a message that is personal to you. Salvation is for you. You need salvation. You're a sinner, and you've got to be born again in order to get to heaven. And so it is a personal message. "To you," he said, "is the word," this word of salvation. "To you it is sent." Isn't that good news? It's for every person, any individual on the face of the earth. to you, God sends His message of salvation. It's sort of like having a telegram that is sent with your name and only your name on it. Think of it that way. God is saying, I'm sending my Son in salvation for you so that you as an individual can be saved. It's like having your name on a medical report. You know, they're very particular about who gets those reports. And I have this deal where I sign in online and I can get my report after I've had a physical, but nobody else can go in there and get it. And you've got to have the right criteria and the right name and all of that in there. That's what he's saying. I'm sending the message to you. Put your name in there. You say, well, I've already received Christ. Great, it was still to you, wasn't it? But if you haven't been saved, the message today is to you. It is personal. Salvation. Not only that, it is powerful. Salvation is powerful. It saves us from sin. It saves us from sin. First of all, the penalty of sin. Thank God salvation saves us from the penalty of sin. Preacher, what is the penalty of sin? Well, if you don't receive Christ as your Savior, I want to be very plain about it, you die and go to hell. Amen. You say, well, you shouldn't say that from the pulpit. People don't say that anymore. Yes, we do. You know why? Because I'm quoting the Bible. As Dr. Barber says, I just like to quote the Bible. I just like to quote Jesus, you know. And he said, if you don't get saved, and he doesn't say it hatefully or mean, and we're not saying it that way, but it's a plain reality that you're a sinner and there is a penalty on your sin. What is that? It has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. You cannot go to heaven without your sin being paid for. And you cannot pay for it. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. All kinds of sin. Adultery, fornication, lying, cheating, stealing, pride, alcohol, you name it, all of the different things, drugs, anything, sin, your lifestyle. And no matter how good you are, friend, I don't care how good you are, you may say, well, I'm pretty good. I don't do all that stuff. You're a sinner. Would you say you're perfect? Heavens, some people might say that, but I wouldn't dare say I was perfect. Except my perfection is in Christ. Are you perfect today? You say, no, preacher, I'm not perfect. That's the point. You're a sinner. You've missed the mark. You can't get to heaven on your own works. And so salvation, Christ, pays for your sin, the penalty of it. You don't have to go to hell. Good news. Now you got a soul. You got a body, soul, and spirit. And they're going to, you know, your soul and spirit are going to spend somewhere forever and forever and forever. I mean forever. It's like dropping a rock in a well that has no end to it. You'll never get out of hell. It's forever. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish it was different. But it's the Bible. It's what God says. And it's right. It's correct. There is a hell. And if you die, you will spend eternity separated from God. And you won't be having a party down there either. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, well, if I go to hell, I'll just party with my friends. Oh, no, you won't be partying. Nobody will be partying. You may be wanting some alcohol and you can't get it and you'll have the DTs in hell. And you may be wanting drugs and you can't get them and you'll have the withdrawal in hell. You may want all of those pleasures that you call pleasures back in this life and they won't be there. No, there won't be any party atmosphere there. There won't be any of that. You'll be suffering according to the Word of God. You will be suffering in a real, literal place called hell. Thank God Jesus died that we might be saved from the penalty of sin. Not only that, but from the power of sin. You say, oh, but I'm saved, but I just can't give up my sin. I just can't do it. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus has told us in His Word that we have been saved from the power of sin. Sin has no more right over you than a dead man has a right over you or a dead woman has a right over you. And He gives that illustration in the Bible. And we are to reckon ourselves to be dead to the what? Power of sin. And if we'll just reckon it so, we know we've been saved from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. Therefore, every believer should be living a victorious Christian life. You don't have to have that old habit you've got. You don't have to be involved in some of those things. You can, through the power of God, get over that. And God can give you the help and strength if you'll take it. Now, the problem is some people just don't want it. You know, a lot of people want to get just as close to the edge. I don't know how close I'll get here, but they want to get as close to the edge as they can in their Christian. What can I get away with? What can I still do and be a Christian? And what the question is not, what can I still do and be a Christian? The question is, what is best for the glory of God? What can I not do and bring honor and glory to Him? And there are just a whole lot of things in our lives that do not bring honor and glory to Him. And we ought to love Him so much that we'll say, I'll lay that down for His glory today after I see what He's done for me on the cross. But thank God we're going to be saved. We are saved eventually from the presence of sin. I like that. When we get to heaven, there won't be any of this mess we see in our society today. If we won't have a culture in heaven where there's unrighteousness, Jesus will not allow it. It's not going to be. It's going to be a righteous kingdom. But thank God for the fact that salvation is personal and it's powerful, past, present, and future. God is able to deal with all of it. And it is dealt with through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is also peaceful. You know, when you're under the condemnation of sin, you don't have much peace in your heart. Many of you could testify today, boy, before I got saved, I had a lot of stuff going on, but I didn't have any deep-seated peace. I really didn't have that peace. Even as a little child sometimes, they don't have that peace, but they get it by receiving Christ as their Savior. After that old war with sin that we have, so we've got the old body, we've got the old nature. And people who are not saved, they just battle that sin and battle that old nature all the time. And the reason you can never overcome it is because you haven't been born again. But when you get saved, all of those fears, all of that stuff goes out. That junk goes out. It just goes out. And no longer do you have fear, but you have the spirit of adoption. I belong to the Lord. I am His, and I'm going to heaven. And no matter what happens to me, I can handle it with the help of God because heaven is my home. My name is written down, and nobody's going to blot it out. Nobody can blot my name out of the Lamb's book of life in heaven. Boy, that brings peace to your heart. And you have peace with God. A sinner who has not been saved does not have peace with God. You cannot. You can have your little spells of happiness and sometimes your little pseudo-happiness that comes from other things that you do. But you cannot have deep, settled, lasting peace about eternity until you come to Jesus Christ. But my dear brother and dear sister, let me tell you, when He comes in, peace comes in with Him. Perfect peace I give you, I leave with you, He says. And then it is also precious. Salvation is precious. How's that? Well, it's going to be tested, but it always proves to come through with flying colors. It's going to be tested. If you get saved when you're a child, when you're a teenager and youth, you're going to be tested about your salvation. And when we get older, then we're going to go through some tests. Physical problems, all of those things, the loss of loved ones, many of those different things, different circumstances are going to test it. It may be sorrow that tests it. In some places, we don't know much about that here yet, but in some places, it is poverty that tests it. But I can tell you this, no matter what your circumstances, salvation will always wear well. It'll always get the job done. It'll always be what it should be. And if you'll lean on the Lord, it'll prove to be exactly what God says it is. And I can tell you, I've lived a long time now, long enough to know that I've gone through some trials personally, and my wife and I have gone through some trials together. And there have been various things, and you would not necessarily know about, will not necessarily need to know about, and some of you have been through them too, and you know who sustained you through all of that. You know who kept you above the water. You know who provided the need. You know who took care of you. It is precious because it was Jesus. It was the Lord. He was there. And He provided those things during that time. I'm telling you, salvation wears well. Not only that, salvation is perfect. It is perfect. There is no want that would not be satisfied in salvation. I've never been dissatisfied with my salvation, have you? If so, you better go back and check and see what you got. Because I've never been dissatisfied with my salvation. I'm satisfied with Jesus. The question comes to me, the songwriter said, as I think of Calvary, is Jesus satisfied with me? That's where the real question comes in. And no want in my life has ever been unsatisfied. If I needed pardon, I got it from Jesus Christ. Thank God we can go to Him when we've failed and ask for forgiveness and He'll forgive us. Aren't you glad we have a God like that? If we ask Him to, He will forgive us. And we have the claim, the promise of it. He will give us life and peace. And I like the liberty I have in Christ. I'm not under the law. I'm not at liberty to sin. I'm not at liberty to do anything I want to do like some people want to make it out to be, but I am at liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not bound under the Old Testament law and all of that. I have liberty through Christ, liberty to live the kind of life that brings Him honor and glory. I have cleansing. I have refreshment. The psalmist writes so much about the refreshments of the Lord. I love the Psalms. You can read them and read them, and they just refresh your heart. I have refreshment from the Lord. I have comfort from the Lord. I have strength from the Lord. How do you get strength to overcome temptation? From the Lord. The Lord will give you strength. He says there is no temptation that has taken you. But what He has given you, a door of escape. And God gives us that door of escape when we're tempted. We just have all kinds of wonderful, perfect things because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, no want in my life has ever been unsatisfied when I was depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. He will satisfy all of those things. Salvation is also presently available to you. And again, He says it in that verse. And He's saying to them, to you, is the word of salvation sent. Right now. When? Right now. And He says there so clearly, it's unmerited favor. Salvation is available to you right now. It is unmerited favor. What do you mean by that, preacher? Unmerited favor. It means that you can't earn it, you don't deserve it, but you can get it right now, just like that. You can have hope for eternity today, right now, instantly. You don't have to join our church first. You don't have to be baptized first. You don't have to go through a Baptist catechism first. All you have to do is realize the message is for you now, right now, today. It's for you according to the Word of God. To you it is sent. It's there. It's already been taken care of. It's available. It is a gift that is wrapped by the love of God and the grace of God. And all you have to do is reach out by faith and say, I believe that, and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He'll take care of the rest. You say, well, I'm afraid I won't hold out. Jesus will help you. And you will hold out. You say, well, I don't know what my friends will think. Who cares what your friends think about? Friend, you better be thinking about what does God think about. Because you're going to face God, and your friend is going to help you up there. You're going to face God as one single individual. No matter who you have as a friend, they're not going to come to your aid up there. You're going to have to face Almighty God. And there is instant hope to you today because the gospel is sent to you. But you have a great responsibility. What do you mean, preacher? I mean time is short. And I mean that you have no guarantee for tomorrow. I mean that what God says is, now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation. And most of you have heard me quote that many times during an invitation. But let me tell you, now is the accepted time. We say, why should I get saved today, preacher? Let me ask you a question. Why shouldn't you? Why shouldn't you? And here's some reasons you should, because you don't know that you'll have an opportunity to get saved tomorrow. You really don't. And I could give you a lot of illustrations, but believe me, I've had times when I've talked to people and told them they need to be saved in my office, and they left, and they said, some more convenient season, someday I might get saved. I don't dispute what you say, but I'm just not ready. Listen, you don't get ready on your terms, you get ready on God's terms. And I've also had them under conviction during an invitation where they knew they should come, they would not step out, they went home, the wife, husband talked about it, and he says, I know I should have gone, but I'm going to put it off, I'm going to wait a little longer. And then my phone rings, hello, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but my husband was killed this morning on his way to work. And my heart just cringes, and I think he probably never accepted Christ as his Savior. I've had that happen in different ways, different situations. And you might say, well, preacher, you're trying to scare me. You're trying to frighten me. Let me tell you something. Hell is a frightening thing. I don't know what you call it, but I'm just trying to bring anybody here to your senses that if you haven't been saved, today is the day to get saved. Today is to trust Christ. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have midnight tonight. I don't know when, how much you may have. You may live to be 100, but you don't know. And the more you put it off, the harder your heart gets, the easier it is next time to put it off, and next time to put it off. And the Spirit of God deals with it, and He speaks to you down in your heart. He doesn't speak out loud, but He speaks. You know something's going on down in your mind and your heart, and you're thinking, what is all of this about? I believe God wants me to be, I believe He's right, and God's telling me I ought to do that. What is all of this about? That's the Holy Spirit of God telling you, you need to get saved. You need to do it now. You need to trust the Lord. To you, it is sent right now, unmerited favor. You cannot earn it. Time may be short for you, and who knows, time may be short for all of us. And I know people say, well, I've heard that stuff for years, that Jesus could come any moment. But it's still the truth. He could come any moment. And if you're not saved, you won't be ready. You want to be sure of one thing, that you are born again, that you're on your way to heaven. Now, here's the question Paul would have, and here was the choice these people had. How will you treat the Word? He was preaching the Word. You go back and see that he knew the history of Israel. And he was telling about all the history. He was telling about what the Bible said and all of those things about it. And he was preaching the Word. He was preaching the truth to them, telling them about Jesus, how Jesus was born, how He lived a perfect life, how He died, how He was buried, how He arose, and how He went to the right hand of the Father. He was telling them all, He was preaching the Word to them. Now they had an opportunity. To you it is given, but what will you do with it? God will not force His Son down your throat. God will offer you salvation, but He will not hold a gun to your head and make you take it. God loves you, and He offers it to you. So how are you going to treat His Word? And the way some of those people treated it, you read it there, they refused it. Especially the Jewish people there, they refused. They had the right, but they refused the Word of God. And some said, well, I'll just wait a little bit longer. They delayed it. And some made a pretense, no doubt, and acted like they were doing it. But they were just doing it to please somebody else. They were just doing it because it was something somebody wanted them to do. They went through the motions and pretended, but they really didn't get saved. But then there were those that immediately came to Christ and got saved. They had a sincere acceptance of Jesus Christ. Now, once you get saved, once you come to Christ, and that you must come to Christ, there needs to be complete surrender to the author of eternal life. My, He's given us eternal life. He's given us the gift of eternal life. And there ought to be complete surrender, Hebrews 5:9, and being made perfect, justified. Not that we're perfect, but that Jesus was perfect, and we're justified by what He did for us. Then, being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. What does that say? Are you saved by your works? No, it's saying if you're really saved, you want to obey the Lord. You want to live for Him. Again, I say you don't want to just live on the edge and get by with all you can get by with. You want to pull away and pull away and pull away and say, man, I don't want to be on the edge. I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to bring Him glory. I want to live for Him. I want to get rid of bad habits in my life. I want to tell others about Christ. I want to live a life so that others can see Christ in me and they'll have absolutely no doubt that I love Jesus with all my heart and I'm going to live for Jesus. He became the author of eternal life unto all them that obey Him. That's just another way of saying if you're saved, you're going to try to live like you're saved. And that's the way we as believers should live. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means we'll not do the things that are in the world. We'll get away from the worldly habits. We will be people who will judge any kind of sin that is in our life. We're going to get it right with God no matter what it is. Fornication, an extramarital affair, running around with a married man, or a married man running around with a married woman, or committing adultery, or getting involved in pornography, and on and on and on and on. We could just keep naming them and naming them and naming them. But I think I'll just let the Holy Spirit name some for you in your own heart. And I'm telling you, we will obey the Lord. James said, it is by our works that we are justified. You say, there you go. See, I get to heaven by my works. No, you've got to take the context. James is talking about not God looking down at you, but he's talking about people all around looking at you. By your works, you are justified. You say, I'm saved, all right? By your works, you prove that you are saved. You don't get saved. It's the outworking of the inworked salvation by grace, and it works out in your life, and then others see you by your works. They're looking at you, and you say, I'm a Christian. Are you a Christian? I'm a Christian. By their works, they are justified. Others look and say, I really believe she is. I really believe he is because of the way they're acting. And I'll just add this little footnote. You may think you're getting away with sin. And I hope you get really uncomfortable right here. You may think you're getting away with your sin, but you are not. You are not. It may go good for a little while. You may get a boost out of it, a little pleasure out of it. But friend, you cannot win with sin. The best thing for you to do with sin is lay it down. Forsake it. Turn it over to God. Judge it and live the Christian life. There is some responsibility after you get saved. But thank God you're saved by grace. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed. We'll have a prayer. We'll ask you to come. If you haven't been saved, step out and come and just tell some of us workers, I'll be down the front. I'll be down there to meet you. Just come tell me I want to be saved, and we'll take care of that. If you're here as a Christian, you know what God's told you. You know what He's spoken to you about. May the Lord help us to come. Father, it's your invitation. I leave it in your holy and sovereign hands. May you do your work. May the Holy Spirit do His work. Oh God, we're depending on that. We might see the results you want today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come on this first word, first verse? Step out.